Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Welcome to Exploring the Prophetic. My name is Sean Bowles, and each week we bring you a prophetic perspective. Sometimes we'll have interviews on this in the future. Sometimes we're going to do different things on this podcast. But I want to encourage you to either subscribe on YouTube to our YouTube channel or subscribe to this wherever you find any podcast. And this is going to help us so much to grow this particular podcast, which is part of a series of podcasts we do. We have Exploring the Marketplace, and we have also the Sean Bowles Show. Well, this year is going to be a really significant year for us, and I have a prophetic word all about that. You don't want to miss it. This might be a really important year for you, especially if you have been in a season of preparation, a season of waiting on God. This is a time that God is pointing out to you. And this is God's season where his playbook is coming for you, because there's new that's ahead of you right now. And God wants to give you instructions on how to win in life and win this season and see prophecies that he's given you, or at least ideas that he's given you fulfilled. As we step into 2025, I feel like the Spirit of God is saying that he's releasing divine strategies and instructions for this new season. Just like a coach hands over a detailed playbook to a team before a big game, God's going to give us tools and insights and moves we need to win in life right now. But this requires something from us, and it's an expectation. Now, some of you, I want to kind of define that, because when I was really in my first season of knowing, and this would be my 20s, of knowing that God was going to do something that was requiring me to believe in faith in the prophetic, or in what he put inside of me, whether it was an external prophetic word someone else gave me, which I had a few of those, but there was also this internal kind of God was leading me. He gave me his barometer, or his compass, so to speak. And I had this expectation. I didn't have a lot of clarity on the direction. I just knew some of the things I was called to, and I knew I was supposed to take steps towards them in a radical way. And I had been in a season of what I call preparation, waiting in the Word. And sometimes when your season of preparation feels like the exact opposite of what God's called you to. And so I was in a season of, you know, doing all kinds of things. I was working in the video game industry, which I loved, but it wasn't my primary calling. I would have loved for it to have been at the time, but I knew it wasn't. I knew God was saying, I want you to do some ministry stuff. And he was pointing me towards media and entertainment and some of the stuff we're doing now. But it took a while for that process of preparation before I could even take a step forward. And I had this, what I call a spiritual hunger, because I had an expectation for God's kingdom to interrupt what I could perform and what I could do. I knew I could only bring myself and the decisions and the connections I had and the types of opportunities I had so far, but I was believing God because of what he had put in my spirit. And first of all, it wasn't just a mission, but it was also a love for people that he put in my heart, a people that I wasn't connected to yet, a people I was going to start to reach, love, support, be a reinforcement to, not just lead necessarily, but to be a reinforcement to. And he put that inside of me, and he put a whole industry inside of me, which was entertainment and media, both Christian and secular or mainstream. And it was so wild, because when he put that expectation inside of me, I began to partner my faith to it, saying, God, I don't know how to get there. I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to take steps of faith towards it. There was a long season of waiting where the only thing I could do is visit places where there was entertainment hubs and just kind of look at what God was doing already there through the people who were already positioned there and the people I could meet in the context of just my limited ability. But he put something so deep inside of me. It was kind of like when he plants a seed and that seed dies and starts to, most of the work's done in the rootedness underneath the soil, so you can't really see what's going on. And then God gave me a playbook, and it was a very specific playbook. And he led me to do some things that I wouldn't have even known how to initiate. I wouldn't have even seen myself in the light of some of the roles I played for many years. I would say even decades before he launched me into a season of what would be more fulfillment. Now, when I say this to you, it's because some of you have something inside your spirit right now where there's an expectation. There's a people you're supposed to love. There's a mission you're supposed to be on that are married to each other. And maybe you're partially on it. Maybe you're already even far down that road, but there's a maturing, or there's a deeper that you know you're called to. And this is the season that God wants to say, let me give you my divine expectation. And if you don't have it, maybe there's a place of just spending time with God until you have that, because blessed are the hungry, which is expectation. Having expectation is a hunger for God, for they will be filled, according to Matthew 5. And if you don't have that, then it's time for your heart to awake up for your own calling, for your own purpose, for the own desires that God has put inside of you from his very nature for the sake of Jesus. And without this expectation, we can miss opportunities, we can miss instructions that God's laying out. We could be lazy, or we could, you know, we could not go to places because it just doesn't feel fulfilling, or it feels like maybe an old season. But expectation ignites our faith, and faith prepares us to act on what God's revealing us for. And I remember, you know, at one point in LA, when I had transitioned from pastoring, I was so busy. I was working all the time on the road, doing a lot of itinerant speaking and preaching. And before we were doing our media season, and I was looking at this season, and I wasn't realizing that there would be certain things that people would invite me to locally in LA. And we were just so busy with our family, with my wife and everything else. And I didn't have that expectation towards that future season alive in me. It wasn't at my forefront because I was so busy and in some ways so tired from what I was already occupying and what I was already doing, even though I knew what I was already occupying was something that would transition. And so at one point, God kind of shook me, woke me up in the sense of I woke up one morning and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm missing some of the things. I was invited to a certain premiere of a friend who I'd helped pray into the opportunity that this premiere was even coming from. Another friend had invited me to come to, she had celebrated a promotion in her career. Yeah, and so there's a promotion party, and I didn't go to support her. And I've realized that there's all these things that were happening in the genre and the people I'm called to love and the mission I'm on that would also network me to the opportunities that I know that God has for me, or, you know, that I'm doing now and that I've, you know, changed my life for. But I was too tired, and my expectation wasn't there that these are my people and this is what I'm supposed to do and this will bring fulfillment back. Because when you're doing what you're called to and the way you're called to it, it gives you energy. It doesn't take your energy away. It doesn't mean it doesn't take a lot of energy. It does. But you start to get a fulfillment because you're doing it through Jesus. So you're accessing, like Jesus said, food that you know not of. Like when the disciples said, are you hungry? And he said, I'm eating food that you don't understand. And that food was to do the will of his Father. So there's something about when there's an expectation and you start to partner your faith to it, you start to get fed by it. And some of you have forgotten that. Some of you didn't know that. Most of you have just forgotten it. Maybe you're really weary and tired. And there's part of what God's inviting you into where you have to have expectation. But because maybe you're burned by another ministry, church, purpose, career, relationship, whatever it is. And so it's hard for you to say yes. You have to muster up the expectation. You have to muster up the faith. But I love what David said. Why are you downcast, O my soul, in Psalms? And I just think that there's a part of us that has to look at ourselves and go, why are you downcast when what is ahead of you is good and has God's glory in it? Why are you downcast? And there's reasons why we're downcast. There's reasons why we go through seasons where things are hard or where we do experience life's troubles. But when we learn to walk with Jesus, even in the midst of that, even in the midst of some of the most troubled seasons, you're going to have some of the most greatest fulfilling promises. I feel like a lot of times some of the greater things that have happened in my life, some of the greatest missions that have been complete, so to speak, as they were in their biggest measure, their biggest glory, their biggest purpose, the seasons of the most fulfillment, there were some of the greatest problem seasons that were like kind of parallel to that. I don't know if that just happens because there's warfare in seasons or if it happens just because we live in a troubled world. But regardless, I've recognized that. I've talked to other people who have some level of maturity in their faith, if not great maturity, and I've asked them, have you ever had a time, a breakthrough without a time of, it feels like, matched circumstances where things are hard? And almost all of them have said, I have. But it's not always normal. And I'm not, maybe it should be our normal. Maybe we should have expectation for that. But I do think that there's, for every time that we go from glory to glory, that there's a matching problem sometimes in our normal common life that tries to take us out and tries to pull us out. I think Paul said that when he said, there's a thorn in my side. I've asked God to deliver me from this, but he's, you know, he hasn't. It's actually developing character, or it's working in me. So I think every time God ushers us into a new season, he points at opportunities he prepared you for, but he also provides instructions to navigate those opportunities. And that's really important to know, that if God has put something inside of you and he's pointing you at it, he will give you instructions. So you have to wait for him and wait on him and listen to him and actually listen to what he's put in your life. Some of it's voices around you. Some of this, you know, your church service at church when someone's speaking, it could be a podcast, it could be your friendship circles, some of the conversations you're having, your small group, whatever it is. But God uses these things to help bring his divine playbook, his instruction book. And I love when we ground this in scripture, 2 Peter 1:19, let me read it. It says, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well as to heed as a light that shines in dark places. So basically, prophetic words, when you get them, when God shows you something, it helps to bring light into the dark places of life, and it helps to bring illumination to areas that you can't see without that prophetic word. That's why God gives a prophetic word. And I think some of you have been given prophetic words, whether it's through other people or whether it's directly God's given it to you yourself, and God's quickening prophecy right now. And I've really heard this for 2025, for people who are on a journey with God. God's quickening prophecy, which many, many prophecies are going to come this year to so many people, then some will come directly to you about your own life, and God's going to confirm it through others, but some will come through other people who are even unlikely to, people you weren't expecting to show up and give you a prophetic word. So it's a time to keep your spiritual ears and open and your eyes open, because you're going to be able to write down tangible things that God is calling you to and that he's going to show you. And some will be confirmation of what he's been showing you all along. Some might be completely new. And I do want to say prophecy really matters. Prophecy prepares us for what's coming, and it's not meant to scare us, but it's meant to ready us. And I love Amos 3:7. It says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." Now, the reason why this is important scripture for us in the New Testament or in this time is because God speaks to alert us or awaken us and align us with his plans, and it proves friendship. It proves connection. It proves that God wants to do something with us, not just for us. And this season is not about idol listening. It's not just about, you know, going to church and just hanging out. It's not just about like, oh, it's a good sermon, pastor. It's not just about like, oh, that was a great worship song. It's about engaging your faith and going, okay, God, help me to be fully present with you, with your purposes in my life, with your relationships that are in my life. And sometimes we have to actually wake up and tell ourselves, you know, speak to ourselves, be present, be alert, be connected. Yeah, and sometimes it's natural. Sometimes we go through seasons where everything feels so connected, natural. But a lot of times, especially after a long season of wilderness or waiting, we have to tell ourselves. Like I've had to wake myself up at different times in my life and say, you know, in the morning, I'm here, God, with you, present with the people you love, God. Help me, because I don't feel an emotional excitement or connection right now to life. But I know that you're good. And I've had to do that several times in my life and actually talk to my soul. And speak, and David did this many times, and you see that. And I just think it's so profound. Prophetic words, when they come to you, sometimes you have to, in those times when it feels dry or when it feels quiet, sometimes you could pull on those prophetic words, especially when you're in a season where God's quickening them. So they come in two or three or four at a time. And you pull on that and you say, God, I don't know how to look at this without your eyes. So I'm going to read this out loud, or I'm going to listen to this, or I'm going to say it out loud if I got it myself. And I'm going to ask you to speak more to me. Give me your instruction book over this. Give me faith for this. Give me connection to this. Give me emotional, spiritual, and physical and natural connection to this. And I think God's playbook for 2025 is so strong. When I sought God for 2025, I felt like God was going to reveal so much to so many people, and that this is going to be a year of acceleration because of the willingness of so many mature believers have gone through a season of transformation that's been so profound. Yes, there's been the shakings, there's been the hardships, there's been so much disappointment and a lot of leadership level things that have happened across the body of Christ in the nations because there's been so much exposure. But behind that, and what God's doing central in his kingdom, is he's preparing people and he's transforming people. And there's been so many good Christian people who've been saying yes to God, who've been in the hidden place getting reformed, transformed, who've been repenting, who've been changing, who've been baptized by his presence newly for what he wants to do in their life. And I believe that it's going to result in a really, what looks like a fast move, even though there's been a preparation. You know, like sometimes we see the tip of the iceberg, we're like, wow, we see the tip of the iceberg, it's so big, it's so great. And they have no idea the work that's gone into it through your life to saying yes to Jesus. But so much, even for you, is going to feel like suddenly we're a fast because you've waited and you've paid the price and you've changed so much that he could bring it to you. And here's a sense of what I feel like he's saying. Number one, again, acceleration, that promises and prophecies that seem delayed are going to come. You're just going to know they're going to come too. And when they come, you won't be surprised by them, but you'll be in awe of God for them. Meaning you knew it was going to happen, but you'll be in awe of how it happened because your tentacles were not on it. Your handprint is on it. God's handprint's on it. Your only claim to fame in it will be, I listened and obeyed God. I was at the right place because I kept listening because I was faithful. I worked on my character. I worked on my heart. I worked on my relationships. Everything else God did. And God's going to, you know, it's compressing time. I really feel like I saw God this year compressing time that we could live like a dog year, 7 years to one in this year of fulfillment to what he's spoken. I really feel like there's a level of fulfillment that speaks of greater fulfillment, lifelong fulfillment in this year. And some of you have been waiting for so long. Some of you have been waiting for decades for some of the things the Lord's told you. And there's something about an indicator that's moving forward now. You're going to get that sense, that playbook that's going to lead you to see how God is moving you, but he's already been leading this thing, this calling, this purpose the whole time. And he's been working, even if you can't see it, the entire time, but you're going to start to get glimpses of how God's worked on your behalf, whether it's about relationships and family, whether it's about a business or a purpose or a creative project, or whether it's about a ministry you're called to start, a people group you're supposed to reach. You may have received the promise a long time ago, but God's been working as if it's this important, as it's a central thing to his heart all along, both in you, but also outside of you. And so when the season comes, when God leads you into it, there's already been so much work, like the children of Israel. And I've referred to this last year in some of the prophetic 2024 words, like the children of Israel, God designed a promised land that was a mature promised land for them because he knew he didn't want to make them wait 100 years through three or four generations to inherit what he'd promised. But he actually sent people there who built cities that they claimed and built houses they didn't build and architect and had furniture that were furnished that they never purchased because God wanted a land that was prepared for them. So much of the promises and the prophecy that God is preparing you for, the calling, even if you don't feel like you have prophecy, so to speak, you have a sense of calling. So much of the divine calling he's prepared you for, he's been preparing the land that you will inherit for you as well. So when you step into it, you will be shocked. Some people say, well, there's giants in the land. You're going to be like, but I get the land. The giants God will clear out. He's got me this far. You know, it's like, it's so good. But number two, God's going to bring transformation, even more transformation. You're going to feel some finishing work. Expect some radical changes in your character and your life and your personality. I felt like God was reforming personalities. That he's, some of you, that those, maybe there's this place inside of you where you have a gift of humor, but it's not been the most active. Or maybe you have so much empathy and compassion, but you've been in survival mode. Maybe you have so much just charm and charisma, but you haven't been able to be that version of yourself because of some of the circumstances of life, because you've had to be intense for the season at hand. And I feel like God's restoring you to the personality traits that are the most core about you, that are eternal, that will be you in eternity. I felt like the gift of humor in the body of Christ is going to increase. We're going to see many more stand-up comedians emerge. We're going to see many more people who put comedy in their projects, who use laughter in a real way, not because just because we need to be happy, but because joy is the solution for a lot of the anxiety that's happening right now. And God's going to restore joy through the personality of his people. But he's also going to put characteristics inside of our personality and help to form those things as central to us again, where we no longer are just that way when we're around people who are friends and family who know us that way. But that will be part of who we are everywhere we go, because we just, it's just part of what we access to be us. But I felt like there's radical changes in our personal lives and our world that are going to be so accelerated because we've said yes to God, and our life has to align and our physical being. Some of you are going to be working out not because you're making New Year's resolutions, but because you know there's a version of health that you're supposed to carry into the rest of your life. And so you're getting convicted right now about how you eat, or about the lack of exercise, or about too much screen time, or about too much frivolous, whatever it is. You're getting convicted about those things because God is actually putting you, he's aligning you to your trueness, to the trueness of who Jesus is inside of you. And your true self is the best way to say it. And I feel like some of you have felt like it's different than another time, where you're like, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week or 5 times a week as a resolution. You're feeling like in your spirit, I have to go and become the healthiest version of myself physically, or maybe it's for counseling. Maybe you're going to counseling to become the most healthy emotional version of yourself. And which I've actually gone through the last year, because I've been through so many different iterations of ministry and been around so many different people. And we've been in a lot of, I would say, high stakes, high emotional types of ministries where everything is, especially like, you know, Jesus is returning, we got to prepare and all this, and it takes the urgency of what we experience causes trauma. And so I feel like I had to go through some counseling, inner healing, those kinds of things with a therapist, and it was so good for me because I'm still going through some of it, but I've slowed down some, you know, but I've had to go through just some of my own issues that came up, some of my issues of the flesh that I'm like, I got to put this thing to death forever. I got to change. I want to be a new man. I want to be that new creation. And as a mature Christian, as somebody who's been in the faith for a long time, doing ministry for over 30 years, like, we shouldn't be afraid to have to go through a bare bones season again of saying, I'm going to go back to the beginning of like what it looks like to be whole in this area, or to be healthy and to not be a trauma responder, but to actually be connected to health and the healthiness of God. So maybe it's the physical journey, maybe it's an emotional journey, maybe it's a relational journey. We're supposed to invest differently. And so God's calling you to a new church or a new group in your church or to a new way that you participate. So it's not just the same old thing that's not leading you into great transformation and change. But I want to encourage you, there's a time of transformation. And as you sit down and pray about God's playbook, he may give you a new playbook over an area, and you might already see the seeds of that over the last few months in your heart, to where you're actually willing to make a big change in life, to eat differently, or to go to counseling, or to go to a new church, or to go, you know, whatever, through life coaching, or to go through business coaching, or whatever it is, because there's a season of betterment to make us better, to fill those lamps. I think the parable of 10 virgins, where 5 had oil in their lamps and 5 didn't, it wasn't just about fasting and prayer, but it was about preparedness and who we're called to be. And preparedness in the tank and the container we have as a living temple, a holy temple, to house the presence of God in our lifetime. We have to be the best version of ourselves to be that. And I feel like to do that, we have to work on ourselves, and we have to work, help others work on themselves. And it's not just an issue of how much of the Bible can we memorize. It's about how much the Bible can we live, can we know, can we understand. Our biblical worldview is not just memorization. It's how we respond to the world around us. And the third area I feel like the God showed me for 2025 with this playbook is that there's going to be fulfillment, that there's going to be so many unfulfilled prophetic words that start to come to pass. Some of them will be in fullness. For some people, it will be like, wow, this is what I've waited for my whole life. Some of you, it will just be no longer a carrot on a string in front of you, but it will be something that you can now hold. And so there's steps. You know, like I think of when Tree and I transitioned in 2020, during the problems of 2020, we transitioned from teaching and preaching ministry, especially in location, leading tours, writing books, and I transitioned, and we actually both did, into media, and into online social media, and I also transitioned into Christian media. And we have projects we're still working on behind the scenes that we haven't talked about yet that are part of that, you know. And then we have some things you guys can see visibly. And when we went through that transition and that change, we were finally holding on to some of the things that God had shown us both for decades of our life. I love that scripture where it says, don't despise the days of small beginning, because God loves when you start. And I love that scripture. I love that second part of the scripture. It's my friend Bob Haston from Exploring the Marketplace podcast I do with him. Shared that one time, and I'd read the Bible, I don't know, I've read it all the way through at least 30 times. And I've read it sometimes multiple times a year. And just because of the types of Christian groups I was with, there was a pressure to do that. You know, now I do it out of passion, but there was a pressure even to do that. And so some of it was out of legalism, not out of grace, you know, but I still read the Bible many times, but I've never read that scripture that way. I've never seen it. Have you ever read something so many times and you see it because of revelation, or you see it because of life application, or you see it because you didn't understand, you know, before? Well, I had that moment where it's like Bob said, you know, don't despise the days of small beginning, because God loves when you start. And I feel like some of you are going to be at that point this year where it's like, yes, you'll have the fulfillment of like something starting. And it's hard if you have any level of maturity. I don't care if it's 5 years or 10 years in something, and you start something new. It's like being young again. It's like being, it's not stable the same way. Even if you have different maturity now, there's not the level of stability that you're used to and something you've developed for a long time. And so get used to the feeling that not everything has to feel rooted and solid and stable. It's like Sheree and I moved all the way to Dallas from our LA land. And I miss LA, and I love LA, and especially the tragedy that's going on right now through the fires that just happened, you know, just over the last few weeks. I'm just so sad over what's going on there. I would love to be a responder spiritually into the community, Christian community, especially for what's happening. But at the same time, like moving here, one of the hardest parts about moving to a new land is you don't have a plumber, and you don't have a babysitter, and you don't have resources. You don't know who's in that land. You have to meet people. You don't know which church to go to. You don't know, like, we didn't move here for a church. We moved here for Christian media and media. And so it's like we're having to find all those things. Even we're almost a year in. And that's hard. A lot of people don't want to start over because those kinds of instabilities outweigh the purpose. And as soon as you allow your eyes to get off of the purpose, then you start to feel the instability of the new. And so I'm using the move as an example of that. Some of you are going into something new, and you will almost miss the new and not do it because you don't want to feel the insecurity or the instability of what you don't have. And looking at what you do have isn't as fulfilling in the beginning as what you've maybe built for a lot of other times. And it could be a relationship that feels that way. It may not be a whole move. It could be a relationship, or it could be something else. But I'm going to encourage you that God designed Christians to be adaptable, and the world's not adaptable. The world hates change. The spirit of the world hates change. But God's put inside of you to become a new creation in Christ. He's created in you a sense of He makes all things new. God's put inside of you that you can transition from a glory to glory, and you could survive and thrive in both, that you don't have to be the same thing all the time, that you can be the same character, the same love, the same fruit of the Spirit, but your mission and purpose and relationships may change over lifetime. And because I think of it like this, I've had different groups of friends in my, especially my 30 years of ministry, because a lot of times you have ministry friends, almost like if you were in college for, you know, all the way through your PhD program, you will have three or four groups of friends that were really close to you, but you may not you may only stay close throughout the rest of your life to a few of them. You're not going to stay close to all of them because you did purposes together. Well, a lot of times when we do ministry or a career, it's like we have a group of friends around that are so wonderful. The difference as a Christian is when you have a group of friends that you move on from for a move or a mission or whatever, or life changes, where you leave off with and the goodness of that, when you get to heaven, that's where you start off, and even greater with those people, that there's something that you built together. And that translates into eternal fruit and legacy in heaven. And so I never feel the great loss of like, oh, I miss that person. I'll never see them again. The beautiful thing about being a Christian is that I will see them again. And it helps us when God does transition us to where we just get expanded into more family versus we lose family. And that's a hard thing when you're dealing with how God requires so much sacrifice. If you don't have the right viewpoint on eternity, then that sacrifice becomes too much of a burden to bear. But when you see eternity and you really are living for eternity, for Jesus to get his full reward, then you're willing to give up things along the way that are beautiful and good things, not just bad things. Well, I want to talk about the importance of urgency real fast, because there's something about the season that I just feel there's an urgency over us being self-activated, meaning letting God activate our faith and our expectation, our spiritual hunger, and even more that there's an urgency of the season because of where the world's at. And Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 says, it reminds us to redeem the time because the days are evil. And I feel like you only have so much time in 2025. I'm gonna encourage you to be really intentional on how you use it. I love the word God's playbook, because it implies that there's instructions. And when you're on a team, there's daily practices, or there's scrimmages, or there's the games you're looking forward to. Like let's say it's football, you know, you might do in high school football 2 days before you get to big games, which is 2 workouts a day. You might have a season where you're so focused on that athleticism and that sport that everything else kind of like takes a back seat. Well, I feel like when we understand where we're at in the season we're at, it allows us to have a higher focus and actually redeem our time so that our time is used for the utmost purpose. And I think of Paul encouraging Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 2, and especially when he says, there's many articles in a house. Some are for noble purposes and some are for ignoble purposes. Cleanse yourself of the toilet seats, so to speak, or the ignoble purposes, and become a vessel for noble purposes. And that's such a great scripture, because it helps us to go, you know what, I want to be used for the noble. I want my time to be used for what's important right now. I think after most of us get that after going through the whole pandemic, it's like so many people have switched jobs, careers, the way they spend time with family, everything else. But some of you have gotten back into some of the same old ruts. You went back to work and all of a sudden, like, you're just kind of business as usual. And God really wants us to live with a sense of strong urgency for the season, because we don't have the luxury of complacency. We just don't. The world is at a place where it needs us, and we need Jesus to come through us, for the calling of what's on this generation is strong, but we have to actually like partner to it. And God's calling us to step up and step in. I mean, it's time to act. And the words that are spoken over us are real. The words he's about to speak over you are real. And he wants to activate those things. Like, a lot of the words that are coming this year are going to be things that are instant activation. They're not time release anymore. They're things that are going to happen. And if you received a prophecy, many of you, now is the time to activate it, even through just faith and obedience, just to looking at it again, being open to it, having expectation for it again. And I think of this, some of you have heard this term, it's called the Sons of Issachar anointing. And all this is the Sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32, they were the ones who could discern the times and the seasons. They knew what to do in the different times allotted. So they were great advisors to the royalty. They were great advisors to people, to the corporate people, because they knew wisdom. And I think when you get God's playbook, you are like having that Sons of Issachar thing on your life, where you can navigate challenges and have opportunities and even avoid crisis, because you start to get wisdom, which is part of his divine playbook, and you start to get an equipping for what's coming ahead. And so I want to encourage you that you have this. It's not just for certain prophets, that I'm sure there's going to be people who are going to be voices in our generation that have a special perspective or wisdom for the whole generation or for everybody. But God wants to give you the same sense of like understanding your time and season, understanding what's at stake, understanding how to partner, understanding his playbook. And God's going to show you what he's saying for you in 2025. I want to camp on that. God wants to really give you faith for what he's saying to you. He is going to speak to you. God's going to speak to you in some profound ways in 2025 over your life, over your purpose, over your family, over what you're doing. And I believe the Lord's saying that it's going to be a season of great change, like I said, lots of divine shifts. are you willing to embrace it? You know, I think that we have to change our habits, sometimes our relationships, even some of our vision has to be fine-tuned and maybe even surrendered. And then we have a window of repentance and revival that God wants to bring. I think God's extending grace for repentance, and there's a spiritual awakening in us first. Some of us are going, oh, that state or that city or that government or that person or that church, they need, you know, whatever it is. And I think of Jesus when he says, take the plank out of your own eye before you look at the speck in someone else's. It's like we have to be at a place of real spiritual repentance and that brings spiritual awakening, which means we're ready for change and our innermost being, that we're willing for God to change us and form us. And this window is so short. I think we're in a season of time for opportunities. Some of you heard that prophetic word I had about the opportunities, that there's opportunities that are going to change our whole life that are coming. But we're in a season of time that's so short, just a few years open, that can change the trajectory of our children and our children's children. And I want to encourage you, not only for our own family, but for nations that we're in. Some of you are watching us from Africa or from Singapore or from Australia or from Brazil. Like, you're in a season of time for opportunities. And I think it's really important to understand the urgency of obedience. So for those opportunities, without getting into legalism, without getting into performance, to understand that. And the last thing is, I think there's going to be an outpouring of God's glory in a lot of ways. First of all, individually, I think that we're going to see some things in our own life where we feel the glory of God because we feel the motivation of God to do what needs to get done. You know, I think we're going to feel the Father's heart. I think we're going to feel Jesus' love. I think we're going to feel the Holy Spirit's conviction in this season. And we're going to feel the glory of his presence. And I do think there's going to be some outbreaks this year, and I feel like they're going to be American-centric, but I feel like there's going to be some outbreaks of places where his glory visits. You know, we had the Asbury renewal happen not too long ago. I think there's like two of those that are going to happen this year. I'm not sure where or how, but I just feel like there's some places where the glory is going to be exposed, and you don't have to necessarily go there to encounter the glory of God because he's available to you today. But even in hearing about it, it's going to bring conviction for more and deeper for people. And so I'm expecting some miracles and breakthroughs for our own lives, but I also feel like there's going to be some outpourings of miracles and breakthroughs in several places. I think it's American-centric, but I'm not saying it won't happen anywhere else. I'm sure that's just because of how I'm seeing it, not because of how it will exist, you know. But I feel like you have to have a response for God's playbook. The playbook has to be, you know, taken seriously as it's handed to you. God's going to give you instructions. What are you going to do with it? God's promises are often conditional. You know, we have to have faith, obedience. There are keys. Your faith and your obedience is your key right now. And are you willing to trust him? Even if it requires stepping out of this comfort zone, and that's a big one. Are you ready to move when he's saying to move? Are you ready to do what he's saying to do? And so as we're kind of coming to the end here, I'm going to encourage you to align yourself to God's instructions and expect these great things. Expect he's going to do something you could never do in your own strength. And then take some action. Don't just sit back, but actually sit with God and do something to partner with his plan for your life. And let's step into 2025 with expectation and confidence, knowing that God's playbook is guiding us to victory. I just want to pray for you because I feel like I see him handing his playbook. It's just a mental picture, like a metaphor. He's handing like a coach his playbook to us. And I just want you to just in your heart, however you do that, just receive it. Just pull it in. Just say, God, I receive your playbook for 2025. I receive your instructions. God, I pray that you bring my Bible times alive, my worship times alive, not only with what you want to do in my life and through my life, but also for the love that you have for this generation, for people you want to love through me. I pray that you would help me to spend deliberate time with you every day this year, 2025, God, that I would look back and say, wow, the majority of days I spent real quality time with God. Lord, help us to spend real time with you. Just help us to be motivated. Help us in this playbook to see the seriousness of the time we live in, the urgency of the time we live in. And Lord, when we do spend time with you, I pray that it wouldn't be boring or falsely intense, but I pray that it would be rich and like as if we spent time with one of our most intimate friends or connected times, that we get wisdom as if we're sitting with the best counselor, the best coach. Help us to have that quality. And I pray that you would just help us to be motivated to come with our best so we can receive from you your best, God. I pray that you would help us to go and attend church regularly, God. I pray that this would be a year that we'd find our people to go to, even if it's only seasonal, that we would find the people to go and plug into, God, and just be part of a body. And those of us who are already part of a body or a church fellowship, I pray that you would help us to go deeper in our spiritual family. It would be more, even more effective in serving our local community and our local church. And God, that you would speak to us, not only for us, but also for the church. church we belong to, that you would give us vision and heart for what our pastors and leaders have vision for. And God, I pray that you would help us, just help us to, even in the dramas that are taking place all over the world and every sector of society and even in the church, that you would help us to stay so focused on you, that even if we have to focus on those things for a minute, that it would not take our focus off of the eternal moment that we're in right now, that we have an opportunity to love and serve in such a beautiful way. And God, I pray for your prophetic anointing to come, and that you would visit people with prophecies, that you'd visit us, Lord, that you'd send people to speak to us your word, that you would speak to us personally your word, that you would use us to speak your word to other people, that the prophetic anointing on the body of Christ would increase in this season, in Jesus' name. Thanks, you guys, for being a part of this podcast. I want to encourage you, Bowls Ministries is supported by generous donations by people just like you. We had an epic end-of-the-year giving campaign. We're so grateful, but we are starting again, freshly, needing your support, needing to partner with you for all that God has called us to right now, especially to have this ministry on podcasts, on YouTube, to be a supplement for your faith, so into where you're getting fed from. So if these words are helping you, I'm going to encourage you to make a donation or become a regular partner by going to bowlsministries.com, click on give, and you can partner with us, and our fruit becomes your fruit as well. You start to send us to the nations. We're reaching 4 to 6 million people a month through all of our podcasts and our media, and that helps so much. Those people are making decisions for Jesus and connecting to his deeper heart because you're sending us. So thank you so much. If you can't give, consider praying for us that God would just bless us this year in the 2025 year. And we love you guys. We'll see you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or seanbowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.